Opposite Clock. I'm your host, Mary Copeland. This infotainment podcast explores how to live your best life now and well into retirement. We'll discuss topics in financial planning, housing, and insurance. We'll talk wellness, relationships, and leisure activities. A full active life requires planning for your goals and preparing for the unexpected. I'll introduce you to a variety of guests, from knowledgeable experts to folks sharing stories of their life experiences and so much more. Because life is big. All is intended to help guide you in planning for what you need now and at any age. Like and subscribe so you don't miss a thing. Today, my guest is Brianna Crossbean, attorney at law based in Pierce County, Washington. Her primary practice areas are estate planning, long-term care planning, elder law, and probate. She helps her clients protect their future through careful legal planning so that they and their loved ones can be provided for when the client is no longer able to personally do so. In addition, Brianna hosts the Guardianship Forum, which was created to assist Washington State attorneys with the UGA, and also provides a venue to discuss ways to improve it. She is also the chair of the Public Policy Committee for the Washington Academy of Elder Law Attorneys, where she tracks state legislation relevant to guardianship, elder law, and estate planning. Brianna, you're a very busy person, and I appreciate you joining me on the show today.
Thank you so much, Mary. It's delightful to be able to join you today.
Well, we're going to pick your brain, and today we're going to talk about the UGA, which is the Unified Guardianship Act, and the changes that have taken place to guardianship. So why don't we just jump right in? And my first question for you would be, what is an adult guardianship?
So an adult guardianship is a legal and specifically court process where a court determines whether or not someone has the mental capacity to make medical and financial decisions for themselves.
So based on that, why would somebody need a legal guardian?
A legal guardian would be needed if a person does not have the capacity to make those kinds of decisions. So we're talking about healthcare type decisions, managing money, things like that. Normally, adult guardianships are used for adults who lack mental capacity. I work with a lot of clients where they have adult children with developmental delays. So those individuals will never be able to live on their own or make those kinds of decisions for themselves.
And is that the case the majority of the time, that it's somebody that usually has a mental capacity that either they're born with or they might have suffered through a work-related incident?
That's very typical. So what you'll see, as I mentioned, adult children who have developmental disabilities, but then sometimes, you know, as you mentioned, someone has a work-related incident, maybe they have a traumatic brain injury. And then increasingly, we are seeing people who have dementia and Alzheimer's. So they previously had capacity, but no longer have enough capacity to make those kinds of decisions.
In the back of my mind, I was wondering if that was one of the reasons. Okay. So then, based on that, are there any ways to avoid needing a guardianship?
In some cases, yes. In some cases, no. With the developmentally delayed individuals, they will never have enough capacity to determine or make the decision about who makes decisions for themselves. But with other adults, the main way to avoid needing guardianship is to get a durable power of attorney. So a durable power of attorney is a document that allows you to appoint someone to make medical and financial decisions for you. It's a much less, it's much less restrictive than a guardianship. And you decide who gets to make those decisions, and you decide their scope of, or you decide the scope of the decisions that can be made rather than a court. So I'm a big fan of durable powers of attorney for that reason.
I have a question based on that answer,
Absolutely.
because what's the difference between a durable power of attorney versus a power of attorney?
Great question.
Nominal.
So a durable power of attorney is still in effect after someone loses capacity, like in the case of dementia. A power of attorney is more temporary. That's something that, you would give to your financial planner or to your real estate agent to do specific transactions, but you have to approve all of those transactions and you have to retain full capacity. Did that answer your question?
It does. And I wanted to ask it because I'm sure others that are listening to us probably have the same question. So I appreciate that. So when it comes to guardianships, there's a lot of different definitions. So can you break down the definitions of the different people and positions involved in a guardianship, such as the word guardian, or I've heard conservator, etc.?
Absolutely. So a guardian is a court-appointed individual who is in charge of making medical or other personal type decisions for the individual. And then we have a conservator, same idea, except that applies to financial decisions. And then kind of the star of the show, so to speak, is the individual subject to guardianship. So that's a little bit of a mouthful, but with the Uniform Guardianship Act, that's been the terminology that they have switched to. So for purposes of the podcast, to make things a little shorter, we'll just say individual as opposed to individual subject to guardianship or individual subject to conservatorship. And then another couple definitions. You have the court visitor, so that's the investigator, which we'll talk more about in a little bit. And then you'll hear the terms lay guardian versus certified professional guardian. And when most people are talking about guardianship, it's technically guardianship slash conservatorship, but most people just refer to the entire action as guardianship for shorthand. But a lay guardian is a kind of just individual, a non-professional who is serving as guardian or conservator, very often a family member of the individual. Whereas a certified professional guardian, kind of what that sounds like, it's a professionally licensed individual who serves as guardian or conservator.
But either one of those in this topic for the UGA are, whether it's a parent or somebody that's assigned, there's still that one that's called guardian, the legal guardian.
Yeah, so guardian encompasses both lay guardians and certified professional guardians.
Just making
Yeah,
sure. Okay.
absolutely.
So we've thrown this around UGA. What is the UGA actually, and why did it go into effect?
So the UGA is the Uniform Guardianship Act. To give you guys a little bit of history, it was originally created by the Uniform Laws Commission. That's a national group of attorneys who tries to implement laws that are more uniform among the states rather than having 50 different states having 50 different sets of laws. So that's their overall goal. There's been some prior iteration of the UGA dating back to 1982. So they've been working on this for a while. The most recent iteration of the UGA from the Uniform Laws Commission is from 2017. In Washington, it was implemented for minor guardianships in 2021 and adult guardianships only the beginning of 2022. So kind of holistically, the purpose of the UGA is to have more of a person-centered approach, recognizing the individual rather as a kind of as their own person rather than just referring to them as a ward of the state. So really just humanizing things and also trying to provide more choices to that individual.
Thank you. That makes sense. So, what is the process then of a guardianship? What does it look like if somebody needed to get one, now in 2023?
Sure. So it initially starts with a person petitioning the court for guardianship over a particular individual. And so, as I mentioned, this is a legal process rather than a medical process. Now, medical professionals will be consulted, but ultimately, it's the court's decision about who gets to be guardian or conservator. So someone brings a petition to open, then a court visitor is appointed to investigate. And then they make a report to the court. Finally, the court then decides to take their recommendations or not. So assuming that the court decides that the person is the individual is incapacitated or even partially, because there can be partial guardianships. At that point, then the guardian officially has the power. Now they are required to make, very often it is annual reports to the court. So once the guardianship gets established, it's an ongoing kind of legal process. So we have periodic reporting. Typically, it's once per year, but with well-established guardianships, like for a disabled adult child, it's normally every 3 years.
So when we talked earlier and you said there's legal guardianships and there's durable powers of attorney, if I was a parent that had a disabled child, I don't need to go and get a legal guardianship. That is something that wouldn't be necessary. I'd get the durable power of attorney. So the legal guardianship is that step that you make. Outside of family, it sounds like it's something that more so that if there's an unsettled situation, does that make
So
sense?
it does. Not quite, unfortunately. So there always has to be someone who has legal authority. And in order to have a durable power of attorney, the individual that it affects has to have enough capacity to express their wishes. So even though they might a disabled adult child, and I'm talking about, let's say they have the mental capacity of, an 8-year-old or something, heavily disabled, then they will never be able to make their own durable power of attorney. So even in the best case scenario where someone is that disabled, the parents will need a guardianship at some point. I always try to see if there's, if the person does have capacity to do a durable power of attorney, because that's the best case scenario, but that's just not always possible. Does that clarify?
It does because when we talked earlier, 5 minutes ago, I was thinking that in any scenario, really, with a family member like that, the way to go would be durable power of attorney. But when you go into the depth that you just told us now, it's not as simple as that. You're right. So.
I wish it was, but there's the laws are in place for good reason. Even though most people have very good intentions, there's a number of bad actors, so we need to guard against those.
Thank goodness.
Absolutely.
Tell us, how is the new guardianship different from the previous statue? And I know this sounds a little legalese, but the fact is, that's what it is.
I'll try to summarize it a little bit so we don't get too so I don't get too legalese for your audience. Kind of overarching, there's been a change in the court forms, the process, and generally there's more paperwork and stricter reporting. Have to let you know that this was and still kind of continues to be highly controversial among many Washington guardianship attorneys because of how huge of a change it was. I mean, it's required the entire court system to learn a different set of forms, different names for everything. So the most common change in names is that instead the individual subject to guardianship used to be referred to as the alleged incapacitated person. The conservator used to be referred to as the guardian of the estate. Guardian used to be guardian of the person. And then probably one of the biggest changes has been the court visitor used to be referred to as guardian ad litem.
Okay. Now, I've heard this thrown out there before, so I th thought it would be good to ask. So, in case other people have asked, heard this, but what are emergency guardianship provisions?
So an emergency guardianship is kind of what it sounds like. It's where there's an event that occurs where an individual needs an emergency guardian. Common ones that I see where is that the hospital's trying to discharge a patient because they're trying to free up a bed and the individual does not need hospital level care. And this also assumes that that individual does not have a durable power of attorney. And then additionally, sometimes it's needed if there is a bad actor and someone's life is or their finances are at risk. What it does is it ultimately shortens the time to establish a guardianship. Typically, it is about 60 days. I've been seeing it take longer because medical reports kind of tend to hold things up. So I'd say it's more like 60 to 90 days, but that's in a case where it's not an emergency situation. But it shortens that original time from 60 days to 14 days. I have some colleagues who can actually get them done sooner. It should be noted that the emergency guardianship is temporary. So it's just to get something in place while the rest of the investigation is conducted to get a full, more permanent guardianship.
Great explanation. Thank you. How uniform is the Uniform Guardianship Act? And is that just the Washington state level or nationwide?
So the Uniform Guardianship Act is not very uniform. To this date, only two states have adopted it. Washington and Maine has also adopted it. The kind of the odd thing with U.S. law is that we are one country, but at the same time, we are a collection of 50 little countries, and each state has their own laws. This is very much the case for guardianship law, in addition to almost every other kind of law as well. So Washington's law is different than other states. And even Maine's adoption of the Uniform Guardianship Act is a little bit different than Washington's as well, not to make it more confusing.
Well, then I guess maybe what we're doing could be something that can be mirrored and spread out across the nation. We'll see what happens with that, right?
Yes, definitely.
I want to go back to one of the definitions. What is the role of the court visitor? I believe they were formerly known as GALS, is the acronym.
Yes, court visitors were formerly known as guardian ad litems, and ultimately, their roles have not changed too much. Court visitors are an investigator, so that's their main purpose. They're not a formal guardian. They don't typically make decisions for the individual potentially subject to guardianship. What they do is they conduct an investigation when a guardianship gets opened. They will review the medical records. They'll talk with doctors. They will talk with the individual that is potentially subject to guardianship. They'll talk with their friends and family and other related individuals to see if, whether that individual does in fact need a guardianship. If they do they need a full or partial guardianship? And if they do need a guardianship, is the person who is nominated as guardian a suitable person? So they really do a lot of work. And in Washington, court visitors are typically experienced guardianship attorneys. So they really, really know all the ins and outs of the law and just kind of how things operate.
Perfect. We have one final question before we wrap up, and that is, what is the acronym WAELA, and are they working with the state legislature to help address issues as they arrive with the new laws? I know you're part of this group.
So WAELA stands for the Washington Academy of Elder Law Attorneys. It is the state chapter of the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys, or NALA. And I am chairing the Public Policy Committee for WAELA. And we are ultimately tracking legislation, making comments on legislation, not only that, and it's more state focused, state legislation. There is a chapter, a public policy chapter of the national group as well. But we're tracking legislation, making comments on different legislation, and it's really focused on legislation that affects people who are elderly. And or disabled. So we're looking at guardianship laws, but then we're also looking at durable power of attorney laws, among other things. So really kind of that holistic approach.
With everything we discussed today, is there anything you want to add before we say goodbye to our listeners and viewers?
My big takeaway that I would recommend you all get from this is, please get a durable power of attorney in place. If you don't do any other estate planning documents, please get your durable power of attorney in place. It, the majority of the time, prevents the need for guardianship. And also, it allows you to make your own choices, which all of us want to do that anyway. So get a durable power of attorney. Thank you so much, Mary, for inviting me for this. This was lots of fun.
Well, thank you, Brianna, for
Oh,
speaking with me today and to our listeners, because now we all have a better understanding of guardianships and when and why someone would need one and how they work. You know, this is very complicated. So I am so grateful that you took time out of your schedule. Thank you for that. And listeners, until next week, take care and thanks for being with us today. Bye-bye.